This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, pleased to have you along. It's our second hour of radio broadcast here on Monday, June 29th. We've got in the news coming up here in about 30 minutes. A lot of COVID news.
Oh, yeah. Locally and nationally.
Yep. Stockwatch is in our next segment. But here we discuss two Pac-12 schools who are now looking for an apparel deal because Under Armour has backed out.
Including the largest apparel deal in all of college football.
Yeah, who knew that UCLA had the largest apparel deal in all of college football?
I did.
Or college sports.
We talked about it on air.
Well, I did too, but I'm just saying, know, generally it's speaking, weird. Not many people would have guessed that.
No, but I remember when that happened, they said that Under Armour was looking, especially with the with Steph Curry, they wanted to get a better foothold on the West Coast, which is obviously Nike territory, and they thought that a marquee program like UCLA with Chip Kelly coming in could kind of be the rise of that program. And that was going to be their flagship on the West Coast, and not so much.
So Under Armour says they overpaid for UCLA, which...
You think?
We all kind of thought that at the time, yeah. But whatever.
But I can see where they were thinking, right? I mean, you got Chip coming in, and it's a great brand if they were to start winning, and great tradition in basketball. And
it was a $280 million deal.
Yeah.
She said there.
And by the way, that's not all cash. That's cash and then apparel and all that. But I mean, it's the largest in college sports.
But they're also saying that they had an out in the deal.
Yeah.
They said they're not getting the marketing benefits that they thought, and they had an out in the deal, so they want to exercise that out. Look, Under Armour is hemorrhaging money. Like, the Under Armour is getting killed.
Well, and so is UCLA.
Yeah, but this is more about Under Armour,
sure.
Saying, yeah, this is bad for UCLA.
Oh,
for sure.
UCLA, by the way, is not going to take this lying down.
Right.
They said that they're discussing this with attorneys, and they're trying to see if this is legit. Because if you haven't been reading, John Wilner has been talking about this for months and months, that UCLA is literally bleeding money. And now with all the COVID stuff on top of it.
This is terrible.
This is just awful.
And it's happening to Cal, too. I mentioned two Pac-12 schools. The other one is Cal, who signed a 10-year, $86 million deal with Under Armour. And apparently Under Armour wants out of that deal, too. So, it's just that Under Armour is a mess. Like, yeah. I don't know if you've seen their stock price lately. I think it's under $10 now. Like, they just are not. There was a time when they were kind of being talked about as it's like when Auburn beat Oregon. And,
sure.
They were an Under Armour school in Oregon in the national championship with Cam Newton. And there was a time when they had, I think they said that they had four reigning MVPs under Under Armour's umbrella at one time. And that would have been, I think it was Bryce Harper, Steph Curry. Oh my gosh.
Brady. I think Brady was one.
And Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And then they had Jordan Spieth and Lindsey Vonn. All of that was like in a year. That was like 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
And Under Armour at that time was really popping. They have just gotten crushed since. They are not even remotely Nike's radar anymore.
Their best seller, believe it or not, is The Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not a shot at The Rock. I mean, The Rock is great and The Rock is a huge deal, but does that say something that a ex-WWE wrestler slash movie star now is your biggest product mover? I, you know.
Yeah.
I think
it's
that's
bad.
That's not a good thing.
Bad times at Under Armour. And so they're just looking to save money, and then, you know, we'll see if they're able to get out of it. But
yeah, and UCLA said that they're exploring all of their options to resist Under Armour's action.
Well, God, can you imagine that? I mean, like you said, it's not all cash, but God,
yep.
That is a big deal.
Sure. And like I said, UCLA may be in the most – this was like even before the COVID stuff happened. They were saying that UCLA is maybe in more trouble financially than just about any other Power 5 program. And now you throw the COVID stuff on there where you lost out on NCAA revenue from the tourney. We don't know what's going to happen with fans. And even if you do come back, you're not going to have fans because it's UCLA. Remember, they were the ones giving away free tickets. Like, if you bought tickets to the Oklahoma UCLA game, they gave you other tickets, man, just as an incentive because they didn't want Oklahoma outnumbering them 3-1 at their own building. And so imagine if UCLA and all their financial troubles right now can't have fans in the stands for a football, or God forbid they can't play some football games. And now someone's coming along and saying, hey, you know that $280 million? Yeah, that's going away.
Yeah, so then I wonder if like Nike or whomever swoops in and gets them for pennies on the dollar.
Well, I mean, you got to have some sort of apparel agreement.
Yeah, of course they do. But Nike knows they're desperate, and so they're like, well, you'll find this deal most unfair, but we'll take you on. It's like Cam Newton. They're now the Cam Newton of apparel deals, UCLA, because they're like they know that everybody knows that they're desperate.
Yeah. Well, and it's. Look, this is rough times, and you know, Nike, for all of Nike's greatness there, they had 780 million dollar loss in this last quarter. They're restructuring now. They're trying to bill it as we're just trying to get a leaner, more nimble company. When reality is, dude, they're cutting jobs just like everyone else. And so you
have they announced theirs yet?
Who's being laid off?
Yeah, like
Nike. They just said that
knows it's coming. It's just coming. A matter of
they're billing it as a restructuring. But yeah, cuts are coming.
Well, but I think what they've done, correct me if I'm wrong here, Billy. But I think what they've done, and some companies have done this, is they're saying, "Hey, we're going to keep everything the same right now."
Yeah.
While everybody goes through this together, and then once we're on the backside of this pandemic. Mm-hmm. We are letting you know that there are going to be changes because, you know, it's just not sustainable otherwise. So I think they took that approach.
Because, as of right now, I just read this weekend that Nike hadn't made any cuts but said that
they're coming. But they want to do it the other way where it's like everybody's really struggling. The whole, everybody's hurting right now. So we're just going to keep everything as is right now. We're going to fight through this together. And then we're going to chop your ass later.
Yeah. Although I did see that the Nike president, he's getting like a $45 million bonus. But
Mark Parker?
I think that might have been his name. I forget what.
Isn't he their CEO now?
Yeah, whoever their new CEO is getting some sort of ridiculous giant bonus. And then he's making like $18.5 million. And so that doesn't sit well with people because, you know, like, hey, we lost $800 million and we're making all these cuts, but I'm getting paid a lot of money. But the UCLA one, that's got to sting because not only
It's not Mark Parker stepped down.
So who is there?
We talked about this.
I was reading the article today, but I honestly didn't pay attention to what the guy's name was.
Yeah, it's John Donahoe.
Yeah, well he's
that guy.
He's a really rich dude, and he's about to be even richer despite their struggles. But if you're UCLA, not only is this if you do get out of this, not only is it a huge blow to you financially, but what kind of egg on your face is it that a national brand like that just wants to pull the rug out from you? And even if you manage to keep this, how awkward is it that you're all being branded by Under Armour and you know Under Armour doesn't want anything to do with you?
Yeah.
It's like your girlfriend broke up with you and the only thing you can do is wear her clothes. You're like, yeah, I know she dumped me, but gotta still wear her sweatshirt that she left for me.
It really is egg on your face because this isn't happening with anybody else.
No.
Just you and Cal.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and then you look at, too, in the light of the fact that you're not any good if you're UCLA on really any front. And then
remember, Mick Cronin, baby.
And then you had the players come out and say that they didn't trust the leadership, whether it's Chip Kelly, if you just want to just say the program in general. That made headlines because you had 30 players sign their name to a document saying they didn't trust you.
Hey, big baller brands out there.
It's bad.
Maybe they could get a deal with him.
I don't think they have any money.
They're back.
I don't think they have any money.
Yeah, that's bad. Well, we'll see what ends up happening there. I'm sure that goes to court, right? Because, you know, UCLA needs them.
Well, yeah, and that's why they said they supposedly Under Armour thinks they have an out. UCLA obviously is going to disagree with that. And
enter lawyers,
which means you'll spend more money and we'll see what happens.
All right. Our stock watch coming up next. What we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
It's primetime stock watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right. It is COVID cast number 78 by my count.
Ooh, this week we will hit the, we'll hit the over-under.
Yeah, Wednesday, July 1. That would be the over-under of total COVID cast at 80. We set that back when pro sports went away, like the NBA shut down and all hell broke loose. That was March 11th. And we got on the air when I came back from Vegas and we said, how many of these do you think we'll be doing? And you put the over-under at 80. And right now we're at 78.
It's a pretty solid number because if all things go according to plan, it'll be what? 95-ish days
something
or whatever?
Like that.
That's right. Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? According to plan.
If you count the MLS, they're back July 8th. So they'll be pretty close. Not that we're counting that, but.
I don't know if there is a plan. Everyone's just holding on and white knuckling this.
They just hope that it works.
Well, there's dates.
Yeah. There you go.
There are dates. End of July. Yeah.
July 23rd for baseball. Because we were not
counting MLS. All right. So it's time for our stock watch. In the News is coming up next. Let's turn it over to the great, the indelible, Mike Lynch.
How confident are you that this season gets finished?
0%. Absolutely 0% based on what I'm hearing.
How confident are you that this season gets started with actual games?
I would put that at 5%. I think that they're going to at least try in the next couple weeks, but I, especially in the face of these spiking numbers, it wouldn't surprise me if it derails quickly.
Well, there's Buster Olney with a really negative outlook on on baseball season starting. I was just teasing July 23rd would be opening day. Buy or sell what Buster's saying?
Ooh, I buy it. I hate to say this, but I do buy it. This is not trending in the right direction.
No, it is not.
You know. So I want to hope.
What do you mean?
I want to hope
they're
that
not even at 10,000 cases a day in Florida.
It's like a house of cards. And it's like, I hope it holds together. I really want to hope that. I want to watch sports. But will any of this happen? I don't have much confidence.
Well, the fact that he's saying what I'm hearing, he's more connected than anyone else. I do think that 0 and 5% for me may be a little bit low. The part that honestly scares me more than anything else is you now have three governors, Texas, Arizona, and Florida, which up until this point, we can all agree, have not really been pro shutdown, pro stop, pro anything. It's been gas this, green light, go forward, go forward, go forward. And now that things are opening up, you had all three of those either hit pause or roll back. They didn't do that out of S's and giggles. They didn't do that because they woke up one day and decided, oh yeah, I'm going to take this seriously. Someone got in their ear and convinced them that this is not going to end well for you, that this is a big deal. They showed them that this is how effed up this book really is. And that scares the living daylights out of me that all three of them are kind of going back on this. And so I, unfortunately, while I think the 0 and 5, I don't know if I'd go that far. I would probably have to side with Buster there, and he's pretty connected in baseball, and that's a sobering take.
He said 5% they start, 0% they finish. Wow.
It's not good.
I know Shefty led off the show and talked about how you really don't sign a player like Cam Newton with a chance to earn $7.5 million to be the backup, and I agree with that sentiment. There will be a competition, they'll call it as such, but Cam Newton, I do project to be the starter pretty much the moment he shows up on the practice field here in New England.
There's Field Yates, ESPN, talking Cam to the Pats. Sorry, Bills fans, buy or sell, the Patriots are once again going to win the AFC East.
I'm going to sell this. I said it. I think the Buffalo roster top to bottom is just better than New England's. I think New England's roster is old. I think you saw that turnover happen in the offseason where clearly with their departures and additions, their idea was to get younger and to get cheaper. I think the fact that they went with Jared Stidham was a white flag, but it was a signal that they are going to reboot this thing. And next year they were going to address their quarterback needs in the draft. So I thought before the Cam Newton signing, Buffalo was going to win this division. I think after, certainly it's more competitive. And if Cam is healthy, then this is going to be a dogfight. But even with a healthy Cam Newton, he hasn't played a ton of football recently. I still think the Buffalo roster is better than theirs. He's got no offseason to learn this offense. I still think it's going to be an absolute dogfight. And while it pains me to say this because I hate Josh Allen and think he sucks, I think Buffalo ends up winning this division.
Interesting division now with Cam and, you know, the Jets got a little something going. Miami.
Adam Gase is still their head coach, so.
That's true. I can't bet on them. But you're right about Buffalo. It's got to be Buffalo, right?
Buffalo,
I mean, Cam Newton can't make that.
Buffalo has a really good roster.
They also have Josh Allen.
See, and this is...
But wait a minute. They're good with or without... they're good with Josh Allen. They just proved that.
Yes.
The Patriots are terrible, or at least we thought they would just be terrible, but now they get one guy, and I get it. He's a quarterback, and he's an MVP, but is he what he used to be? Can he stay healthy? Yeah. Are they really that much better? No, I got to go with Buffalo. Yeah.
See, and what I wanted all along was Buffalo... to do this. I thought Buffalo should tell Josh Allen, hey, I know we drafted you and all, but you're not very good and you throw the ball backwards. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring in Cam at $1.5 million and incentive laden, and you're going to compete with him and we'll see who wins, because I think a healthy Cam Newton, and again, that's a big if. I think a healthy Cam Newton on that Buffalo roster, I think that's a Super Bowl team. I don't think a healthy Cam Newton in New England is a Super Bowl team.
Why didn't Buffalo do that?
Josh Allen's holding them back that much. Huh?
I do. I think Buffalo is prime for a Super Bowl run minus Josh Allen, because they don't want to. They think that this is their future. They're hitching their wagon to him, and they don't want to admit that they made a mistake.
It costs $1 million to get Cam Newton.
Yep.
Why would Buffalo not do that? Just to simply keep him away from New England.
And have some legitimate competition in that room with Josh Allen. And
or just leadership.
Yeah.
Cam Newton's a great leader.
I think the idea was that they were just fearful of neutering Josh Allen, because Cam is such a big personality. And I say just punt on Josh Allen and go with Cam Newton and hope that he's healthy and he's your quarterback for the next 4 or 5 years.
And then Josh Allen goes to the Patriots and wins 6 rings.
Have you seen Josh Allen play? And by the way, anyone making the argument, and this is such a load of BS, because I've seen this all over social media, saying that Josh Allen and Cam Newton are the same players and you can't hate Josh Allen but love Cam Newton. Kiss my ass. Stop with that.
Did you just drop a kiss my ass?
Kiss my ass. If you think somehow that I can't hate Josh Allen and like the way Cam Newton plays, making that comparison is the most ridiculous thing in the world. That's like saying,
listen,
that's like saying I can't like a Ferrari and then not like a Mazda Miata convertible. Oh, yes. Yes, I can.
I would like to go on record right now, live on the air.
Yeah.
And say that you are too hard on Josh Allen. Okay, you are.
Sure.
I just want to say that.
Have you seen him play?
I have. I watch them. Now, I like the little maneuver where he just literally tosses the ball right over his shoulder and sees who, you know, just to see who picks it up.
Hopes his teammate gets
on a huge, huge third down play.
Yeah.
I love that.
In a playoff game?
That's an interesting strategy, but I think you are too
hard
on him.
When you're in the midst of blowing a lead?
Look.
Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it works out.
I just want to state on the record.
A couple of plays later, you threw into triple cover.
I'm not saying he's great. I just think you're too hard on him.
Okay.
Okay.
By going to New England, that almost validates Cam as a quarterback. It basically says to all the other teams, you missed an opportunity here that, as usual, the Patriots did not. They have basically stamped his credentials, and he signed that one-year deal, or he agreed to the one-year deal, because now he'll be able to hit the market again after the season with a year with the Patriots under his belt and hope to get the type of contract that he wanted to get this offseason.
Adam Schefter there. Again, a little on Cam Newton.
Unmistakable
here.
Voice.
Correct. Buy or sell, Cam stays with the Patriots after this year.
No, I don't.
No, I sell it too.
I think this. I still believe that this is a roster that needs to get turned over. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility if they end up winning 12 games in the division and make a playoff run. Cam's completely healthy. I just think New England, again, they need to get cheap. They need to get younger. And if Cam does have a big year, he's not going to be cheap. And he's not going to get any younger. He's 31, 32 years old, something like that. And there's still a lot of mileage on that. Someone will pay Cam a bunch of money. I still don't think it's going to be New England.
I think there's a chance he doesn't finish the season with the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, deal him.
Just get rid of him. Like, the Patriots do this all the time.
Sure.
They bring in guys. They're like, we'll take a flyer on this guy because he's really talented. But then if it doesn't work out or he gets hurt, they just cut their ass.
Yeah, it didn't cost anything.
Exactly.
Going back to the regular season schedule, the Pelicans did have the easiest schedule in the league going in. And the Grizzlies had the hardest schedule to finish. And there were computer models even back in March that were predicting that the Grizzlies would get passed by the Pelicans. I would tell you that this Pelicans schedule is actually mildly harder than what they faced during the regular season because a quarter of their remaining games were against the eight teams that didn't even make it to Orlando.
I'm busy
and that the Grizzlies' schedule was brutal and has actually softened up a little bit because they only play some of these teams they were supposed to play twice, once. So, yes, this gives the Pelicans a golden path to try to get Zion into the playoffs, but no, it's not out of line with where we were when this thing was set up in the first place.
What?
So, Rob, you missed this. The NBA released all the schedules for the eight games.
Yeah, the Blazers got kicked in the balls.
Yeah, the Blazers have the hardest schedule of the teams that are trying to get into the playoffs in the West.
Mm-hmm.
The Pelicans have by far the easiest schedule.
Yeah.
They play the Jazz, the Clippers, and the Grizzlies. But then they play the Kings, the Wizards, the Spurs, the Kings, and the Magic.
Jeez.
And Portland only plays Memphis once, and I think there's only like one layup, and that might be the Nets.
Portland plays Memphis, Boston, Houston, Denver, the Clippers, the Sixers, the Mavericks, and Brooklyn.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's tough.
Wait, so that's just how the schedule falls?
Well,
it's not really.
No, they made the schedule. So.
Yeah,
they tried to keep it based off of.
They tried to keep it similar, but I don't think they really did.
What? So I thought they were going to go off of the schedule, and if any team obviously wasn't there in Orlando, you just skip to the next game.
No, it had to get.
They
tweaked.
Didn't.
It had to get. Tweaked.
Oh.
So they're saying that they tried to keep it as uniform as possible, but they did have to.
Okay.
They had to change it up.
So.
And then of course Portland's got the conspiracy theory. Dirt and Sprague were talking about it. That
the league doesn't want them.
The league doesn't want Portland.
They want
in there.
Zion.
They
in
want
there.
Zion, and they know that Damian Lillard will beat LeBron James.
They probably do want Zion in there, but.
Yeah. And that's probably why they have a really easy schedule. Buy or sell, the Pelicans will make the playoffs as the eighth seed. They will finish within four games of the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And they will beat them in a two-game playoff.
You know, I'll buy that. I think they're really good with Zion healthy. That's a good damn team.
And Ball was playing better before, you know, this all went down. Honestly, I can't say that I've watched enough of Memphis or New Orleans to make any sort of definitive statement. So... I'm gonna punt on this and I'm gonna say Memphis. Memphis has been grinded out, although they were struggling before this thing ended. But I'll still say Memphis. Memphis ends up being the 8 seed, unless Portland just gives everyone the bird and they win 8 in a row and then they win an NBA title. Which
with that lockdown defense of theirs,
absolutely. Minus Trevor Ariza.
Right? Are they gonna sign anybody? Did they sign anybody while I was away?
I have not seen it. No.
They didn't even care.
And the roster has to be finalized
tomorrow. Yeah. All right, Mondays, 4:15, Stock Watch, brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the news is coming up next, but first, Mike with Sports. Okay, welcome back to our radio broadcast. It's Isaac, me. Big Sook, right over there.
Sup?
It is, you know what time it is.
I do know what time it is.
It's June 29th, 2020. Stop reading the news. Damn. I am your noted newsman.
Well, it's damn good to have you back. I mean, it's just not the same when I'm over there. Like, I'm more comfortable in my role as roving reporter, news contributor. Me having to be in charge of the news, the people need their newsman.
What did I miss in the news? Because I was just golfing.
I'm trying to see what you missed. Well, we had some of the rollbacks from the big states, Arizona, Texas, Florida. We were trending in the wrong direction here in Oregon with some of the COVID stuff, and that's continued. The Civil War stuff that made
we had
the news.
School plans, like Beaverton released their school plan.
Yeah, like half on, half off.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Alternating every other day.
Alternating every other day.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like half the students go to school.
Okay.
Half stay at home.
So you, one student is half in, half out.
Sure.
For the year.
Yeah, so you'll go like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then the next week you'll just go like Monday, Wednesday.
And then you'll be at home learning Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
No one has figured out what to do about the whole lack of internet thing and,
Internet.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the poorer students, which tend to be minorities, yeah, they don't have access to internet and computer, and so, there's a slight hiccup there, but a lot of people trying to go to the hybrid model.
You also missed National Handshake Day, which was very ironic.
Yes.
Is ironic.
And it was Chocolate Pudding Day, and so we had a big discussion about pudding.
Well, today is National Camera Day and National Waffle Iron Day. So, kind of a weak day.
I don't own a camera outside of my phone. I do own two waffle irons, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, one's makes a Star Wars Death Star, and then the other one is just like your traditional waffle iron. And I'm going to say that in the 10 years combined that we've owned those, twice.
Yeah.
It's like a panini.
I can see that.
It's like a panini press. The kitchen gadget that's...
I use the panini press more than you'd think.
Do you?
Mainly because I can't cook.
I feel like...
That's my idea of cooking.
I feel like the kitchen gadget does not get its due for stupid things you buy and never, ever, ever use.
Does anybody have any idea why the waffle looks the way it does? Like, why it's... Is it just to hold the syrup? You know, like the little...
Oh.
You know?
I don't know. The square little, you know, the indentations.
Yeah,
like the...
Yeah. Why is it... Why?
I don't know. Is it something that otherwise you'd end up like, would it stick? Like, could you like you compress it upon itself, then you would just end up with like a bastard, like flat pancake.
I was gonna say, how do you explain pancakes then?
Well, pancakes aren't.
There's nothing on the top.
But you cook it on the griddle, then you flip it. Whereas the waffle is compressed.
So somebody said, "Oh my God, we gotta have a pancake that we cook in an iron. We have to have the top."
I honestly can't tell you. We have to make it checkered.
Or not checkered, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Indents. I do know that the waffle iron, though, Nike, right? Bill Bowerman?
Yeah, that's right.
He made his first, what do you call it, like tread pattern on an old waffle maker.
Kate Brown says masks in all public spaces statewide beginning Wednesday, July 1st.
Well, Washington's already there, so suck it, Oregon. Following suit, bunch of copycats. Well, they have said, like, you're reading a lot of, like, data, like, out of Hong Kong, where Hong Kong has already kind of come and gone out of this thing. And one of the big reasons is they're saying that on commute, especially, like, out and about in the city, they have a 97% mask rate.
Wow.
And, you know.
There you go.
Other countries that have masked up. Like, even the federal government now, who has been really anti-mask, like, Mike Pence and company are coming out and saying, God, wear the mask. Like, governors.
Do you think it's too late?
I've seen many interviews from people that are saying that, granted, this is not what we want, but it's not too late. And if we all were, this goes back to that, if we could all wear, if you got 95 or 97%, the Hong Kong thing.
Yep.
If you had 95% of us that wore a mask and we did that for, it was like 8 weeks.
We're done.
That this would stamp this thing really down, not to where it would go away, but we would be back to levels that we felt like we could open back up. But Fauci came out today and said that he just thinks a third of the country will never get on board with vaccines, that they're not going to be on board with the masks, and we just have, what do you call it, an anti-science group, an anti-science agenda.
Well, if you are one of those people, you are holding us back. Know that. Okay.
Wear the mask. And I don't know what you're going to do, because in Washington and Oregon, they're about to be required everywhere.
Well, so Wednesday, July 1. So originally it was just 7 or 8 counties in Oregon. Now it's all of Oregon. And by the way, I just got back from Deschutes County. I believe that's what they call it out there.
Yes.
Deschutes?
Yeah.
It was out in central Oregon. And it is not really a big thing out there. I mean,
no.
You see masks, but a lot of the people just have them around their, like even people in serving you in restaurants and stuff just have them around their neck.
It just never hit out there. I think they've had, I don't even know
they've had 150 cases or something.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they've had a single death, so.
But there are people, you know, there are the protocols and the, you know, all this, but now out there, everywhere in the state, beginning July 1, you have to wear a mask
in a
public space.
There is a good one, a video.
In a public indoor space.
Wear the mask. It's not that hard.
But outdoors, too.
When you can't socially distance.
Yes.
That's like in Washington, too.
Right.
Gunnar Esiason, who is Boomer's kid, he's got cystic fibrosis.
Boomer and Gunnar.
Yeah, Boomer and Gunnar. And if you don't know cystic fibrosis, you get all the fluid and the mucus built up in the lungs, and it affects your breathing. It's, you know, it's a really dangerous and deadly disease. And he put out a great video, because obviously he has to take any sort of breathing issue really seriously. And he had a great video where he did his oxygen level, and while he was exercising, he wore the mask, basically giving everyone the middle finger, saying, this is me who obviously has breathing problems. I'm wearing the mask. Look at my oxygen levels. I can still breathe just fine with the mask. If I can do it, you can do it. I thought it was a pretty cool video.
That's good.
Out there.
Well, that, and like, you know, there are some people that have to wear a mask all the time. Like, think about nurses and doctors.
Yeah.
And many of them are masked up for 8 hours at a time.
Yeah. They can breathe.
Yeah. They're, you know, and they're just like, it's just, it's not even a thing. You don't even feel it.
Sure.
So the COVID continues to spike in Oregon, one of 20 states seeing increases still. Sunday, we had the third straight day with over 200 new cases, 1,406 new cases in the past 7 days, which is 17% of all Oregon COVID cases to date. The Oregon Health Authority is warning of exponential growth in new cases over the next 3 weeks. They say between 900 and even 5,000 new cases per day are coming.
Well, Florida is up above 9 grand a day. That's not good.
We're still, you know, I mean, we haven't hit 300 today. Our highest was 277 on Saturday.
Yeah.
The biggest problem here is that a third of the cases are untraceable by contact tracing. And in Multnomah County, 45% of those are untraceable. Now, they want to keep that number at about 30% or lower to best control the spread of the virus, but they have now, that number has now lofted over 30%. The biggest bright spot here is that we still only have 98 people in the hospital in Oregon.
That's a good thing.
Due to COVID. So just 13% of COVID patients in Oregon have needed a hospital bed at some point. 73% of those people are 50 or older.
Although you are seeing nationwide, you're seeing more and more kids becoming really sick. A couple of them have passed away. Hospitalizations, and I read an article today saying that we really don't understand why that it's affecting kids the way it is now, because we haven't seen this other places. And, you know, everything from, is this a new strain? Is there some co-factor why it's happening now to kids in our country? The scary part about this, I feel like there's so much still being learned about the virus. So hopefully this doesn't end up being something where it's, you know, it starts affecting people of all ages, but they are saying that a lot of the spread, like down in Florida and Texas, is because young people aren't taking this seriously, because they're like, well, it's not going to affect me, and they're kind of obviously helping spreading this thing.
Washington reported almost 500 new cases on Saturday, over 450 on Sunday. Jay Inslee, their governor, is your governor, Jay Inslee, is pausing any county going to stage 4 of reopening.
Yeah.
Stage 4 is essentially no restrictions, and there were 7 counties in Washington who were ready to go to stage 4, but they will now have to wait.
Yep.
Still no new deaths up there, and 35 new hospitalizations.
Clark County is still in phase 2, hoping to move on to phase 3 at some point.
Yeah, good luck.
Fingers crossed.
All right, stripper strike. Yeah, you seen this?
Oh, yeah, we talked about the stripper strike.
Oh, okay, good.
It's no justice, no booty.
Black butts matter.
Yes, absolutely. Although, it wasn't clear from my research whether there was an actual strike or if it was just the...
No, there's no strike.
Yeah, I think they're still out there.
They're working.
Yeah, they're working. They're just not...
But they want some changes.
Yes.
Apparently, and in their off time, they're protesting.
Yes. Apparently, I did not know this, but it's hard for women of color to get auditions and to get the good shifts.
That's right.
They don't want to work the Tuesday afternoon shift.
That was the Wednesday in the news.
Yeah.
There it was.
Okay. Strike.
I just caught that.
No justice, no booty.
All right, we'll get to the great Garth Brooks swindle coming up next. 4:45 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
A quick waffle note. Believe it or not, now I'm going to read this from internet.
Okay, hot waffle talk?
Believe it or not, well, it's Waffle Iron Day. We owe it to Big Waffle. The holes in waffles did not originate to hold syrup and other toppings, although they now serve that very purpose. Early in the 9th or 10th centuries, how about that? Waffles were only composed of flour and water and eaten for communion. Various religious designs were imprinted on the waffles.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a little like advertising.
Like a cross sort of thing?
Or I guess, yeah.
Like Jesus loves you on my waffle?
I picture like Game of Thrones, like, you know, their house flags.
Oh,
you know,
the house of Targaryen, but like the house of Jesus.
Yeah, and you stamp that on your effing waffles.
I wouldn't mind if I just like got a waffle and then it said like Jesus loves me. Like that would like warm my heart a little bit.
Or like, oh. Whose waffles am I eating? Oh, look right there. It says it right on the waffle.
Yeah, it's Jesus's waffle.
Various religious designs were imprinted on the waffles. As Western Europe was introduced to a greater variety of ingredients, waffles became available to more people. The designs on waffle makers became simpler. The current grid design, which is believed to have originated in the 1400s, was thought to be elegant. And the design became a symbol of waffles, and now the holes on waffles are retained for holding various toppings.
Interesting.
There's your waffle story.
So can you have a waffle without those?
Like a plain waffle?
Could I have like just a...
Why
like,
would you do that?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, is it now required that the waffle have the little holes in order for it to be a waffle?
It would be awfully weird to see a waffle without the little... Yeah, and they're not holes because, they don't go all the way through. They're just divots.
They're pockets.
Little pockets.
What would you do if you just got like a... Like a waffle with a big pocket. It was just like one. It was like a bowl.
You'd make like a syrup soup.
Like, yeah, like a waffle bowl. Why all the holes? Because like the waffle cone, the one side of it's flat. Only one side has the divots. The rest of it's just normal. So could you just do that, but like have in a regular waffle form, not in cone form?
So the stripper strike, no justice, no booty, is it? That's a great... tagline.
It
for
is
them.
A great tagline.
They're also using the hashtag Black Butts Matter. But Haymarket Poll Collective, I guess, is the group, and they're
all together on this.
They want to end racism in strip clubs. They will continue to work, but they want some changes. They want cultural sensitivity training for all employees, and they want more equitable scheduling for dancers of color. I guess they usually get like the crappy shifts, you know. And you want to work the Saturday nights.
I'm telling you right now that for years, I've been supporting strippers of all different ethnic backgrounds. I've been way ahead of this curve.
Now, don't you think if I am... Now, I'm out of my lane here, but...
Okay.
If I am a scheduler, if I'm doing the schedule of my ladies...
Yeah.
...for a big, hot Saturday night...
Sure.
...don't you want diversity? Like, if you've got a lineup that has...
I, too, am not experienced in the ways of scheduling the booty, but I read...
Don't you want, like, different types and different shapes and sizes?
I read in the one of the articles, I think it was in the Willamette Week, that had one of the dancers on there saying that a lot of clubs, there is a limit, that they'll have, like, one Asian, one African-American girl, like, per shift, and that's it.
And that's it.
And that's it. So, like, and that's what they're saying is horse crap. Like, you've got... You know, 17 white gals, and then you got one Latino, one Asian, and one black gal. And they're saying that's not going to fly. It's like the token black friend, right? And that's no good.
What they want is they want you to ask your favorite strip club owner what he is doing to promote equality. Okay,
I don't have a favorite strip club owner, but I'll pick one, and then I will demand racial equality.
Finally, Gary, the Garth Brooks drive-in show was this past Saturday night.
Okay.
Remember we talked about that?
Is that the one? We were out, we were heading down to Newburgh, and we saw a big line waiting to get into the one drive-thru.
I'm
sure that was it.
The drive-in, yeah.
I just thought everyone was, because on the billboard, I think it said like Shrek or something. I was like, wow, there's a lot of people waiting to get in line at Shrek.
It was Saturday night, and there were several drive-ins in Oregon that played it, and he did it all across the country, Garth Brooks, and he did a show.
Yeah.
Now, it was $100 per car.
That's
$100 per car.
I'm just telling you right now, that is ridiculous.
Well, and here's more. It's this guy, I saw this article from savingcountrymusic.com, which I am a ferocious reader.
A frequent reader. I mean, no one cares more about saving country music than Isaac Rock.
But I thought this guy brought up a good point. This author was talking. Yes, thank you.
Pretty little Cajun queen.
Yeah, there's my George Strait.
That's good.
This author was talking about how it's $100 per car, and how is that even worth it? And he was talking to people that went, and he was saying that, one, it was only an hour and 14 minutes.
Whoa!
And two, well, he had an opening act, but for his set, it was, for Garth Brooks, it was 1 hour and 14 minutes. And two, it was pre-recorded. And they said that because a lot of people, I think, may have gone in show, right? That he was going to be doing it live. But
that's what I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was pre-recorded, and they got it all gussied up for the for the recording.
So you paid $100 to watch a DVD of Garth Brooks.
Yes, and the sound, I guess a lot of people were complaining that the sound was not concert quality. And they charged $100 per car. And this author was asking, could any other artist get away with this? Like, there are... Everybody else would have been called out for being a money-hungry, like, opportunist.
Sure.
Garth Brooks... And this is where this drop came from. Yeah. Oh, my God! It's corn! He poops corn! We've been to Garth Brooks shows.
His fans love him.
It's
a cult.
Real.
Still, the best part about that drop is Suk, whatever he's doing in the background.
Oh my God! It's corn! He poops corn!
That is my... Schwarzenegger apparently was in the crowd, and he was fired up when Garth was pooping corn.
If you've never been to a Garth Brooks show, it is truly unbelievable how much those people eat out of his hands. He's incredible.
Owns that crowd.
So could anybody else get away with this? Because the title of this guy's article was The Great Garth Brooks Swindle.
Wow. I can't believe... They paid $100 to watch a crappy DVD. I was under the impression that it was a live stream. Now, twice during this, he's not a big artist or anything. One of my favorite acts is the White Buffalo. Jake Smith goes by the White Buffalo, and he's a smaller artist, but he's from around here. His parents live in Sisters. Love him. If you haven't listened to the White Buffalo, do it. And twice during this, because with smaller artists, they make all their money touring, and you mm-hmm. can't tour. And twice he has done live shows from bars, like arenas, not arenas, but like he plays smaller venues. And he's done them from there with no crowd, and he live streams it, and you pay $10. And you can watch it. I've done that twice. One, I love him, and two, I think it's important to support smaller acts. I mean, he doesn't have Garth Brooks money to sit around. But it's cool, because when he's done it, when you pay your $10, you get a pass to watch it on TV. And you can vote on the set list, right? And the top, like, whatever 12, 13 songs win. And, like, he does live raffles there and gives away, like, speakers and stuff to some of the people that paid. So how is it that a guy like a small artist like the White Buffalo can figure that out? And yet Garth Brooks, with his gajillion dollars, is out here fleecing people for a crappy-sounding DVD for $100? You should be ashamed of yourself.
And that's what the guy was saying.
That's embarrassing.
Nobody really is saying anything about it.
Well, by all accounts, Garth's a good guy, but, I mean, my word. Is that money going to charity, or is that just in his pocket?
Maybe Chris Gaines is behind it.
That son of a bitch.
There he goes again.
I knew it.
That damn Chris Gaines. By the way, late breaking COVID news before we belly up to the Hot 5 at 5 here. The Arizona governor has just closed all bars. Oh, damn it. Where'd it go? There it is. He just closed all bars, nightclubs, gyms, movie theaters, and water parks for 30 days.
So we've now
goes into effect tonight at 8.
So we've now seen Florida, Texas, and Arizona, which were the three most aggressive states in opening, the three most states that were closed the last of anyone to close.
The Arizona governor had been defiant for a while too, like, no, it's fine.
And honestly, that scares me, because for those governors to do that, that is a last ditch effort. Someone got in their ear and convinced them that this is not going to end well. And that, to me, is a sobering thought. If anyone is debating whether or not this is real, whether you need to take it seriously, those three states having to backtrack on this should let you know how serious you should take this. And by the way, just wear the damn mask and don't go to places with 1,000 people packed in.
Okay, I got one other thing.
One more.
Real quick, because I just saw this too. There is a realty group in Texas that will no longer use the word master to describe the master bedroom.
Really?
And bathroom. In its listings. This is, yes.
So do we call it the grand?
True story.
This is a true story.
Some people were saying, hey, where is the line drawn? Apparently here.
Truth.
Is
any truers in the chat?
Can I ask, is that the true inception story of the master bedroom? Is that...
I hadn't thought of it until just now.
Yeah, until I saw the story, I literally never put two and two together, but
I think
it
maybe
would
it
make
is
sense.
Yeah. I just didn't know. I didn't know if that just happens to be one of those like uncomfortable things now looking back, or was that rooted in
At least the smaller bedrooms were not considered slave bedrooms still.
Yeah, you don't really call them that. They're just called the bedrooms, yeah. Right? On the plus side, my bedroom is so small it is not a master bedroom. It's just the largest of the bedrooms.
We have a master suite. Am I racist?
Yes, but not for that reason. So many others.
All right, there is your In the News for June 29th. Wait, June 29th? June 29th, 2020. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. A lot to talk about, including who got Cam Newton next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.